Hello everyone, welcome along to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Beat. My name is Colin Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Each week on the Fantasy Football Beat, I'm joined by an NFL beat reporter to break down one of the biggest games of the week. On this week's show, I'm going to be joined by Chris Tapasso of the Buffalo News. We'll be discussing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers travelling to face the Buffalo Bills in Week 7, and we'll be looking at the key players and key matchups that we expect to decide the game. We'll be looking into Jameis Winston and his injury heading into it. We'll be looking into LeSean McCoy and Tyrod Taylor and how they will fare against this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense that has had its struggles this season, among many other topics. And after I talk with Chris, I'll take a few moments to recap what we discussed and use some of the RotoViz apps to dive a little bit deeper into the game from a fantasy football perspective. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and is a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. You can check out all the apps and all the great work by the team at RotoViz at rotoviz.com. This week's edition of the RotoViz Fantasy Football Beat is brought to you by MyBookie. I've mentioned it on each and every show so far this season that they are my preferred sportsbook that I like to use. And I like to start off the show, give a little bit of an update on what the odds are for this particular game. But this game at the moment, with that Winston injury, is currently off the board, so there's no odds up and available for this particular game. But if you're looking to get in on the action this coming weekend, I would highly recommend using MyBookie. You can sign up for an account now at mybookie.ag. They have everything you need, fast payouts, in-game live betting, and an all-new mobile site and app that works really, really smooth. And as well as that, they have the most rewarding player perks in the business. The last few weeks I've mentioned as well the sign-up bonus up to 100%, and then of course that $25 casino chip that they also throw in for using the code ROTOBEAT when you sign up. But so this Sunday prior to Week 7, that will be your last chance to sign up and use that code to avail of the 100% matched bonus. So if you want to use it this week, get signed up, make some money and have some fun. You'll get that $25 chip, and plus they will match your deposit up to 100% when you use the code ROTOBEAT as you sign up to an account. So get involved. That does end on Sunday. So as I mentioned, it is off the board this game. It will be back up, I'm sure, as we get into Saturday or early Sunday, and then you can have a little bit of action on this. But let's get into talking about the game and what we expect to happen, and then of course we can decide what will happen and where to put our money. So let's get straight into it. Let's get Chris Tapasso on the show. Delighted to be joined now on the show by Chris Tapasso. Chris does great work over there for the Buffalo News, and we're obviously going to be discussing the Buffalo Bills' upcoming Week 7 game here against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, Chris, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on again.
So, when we're looking at this game, the Bills are coming off their bye week, and obviously we have to kind of look back, having a nice fresh week to come off. But what is your early season grade of this team been after five games?
Well, I think, looking at this team going into this game after their bye week, with a road game against the Falcons, home against the Broncos, I think most people would have not expected the Bills to be 3-2 at this point. And then at Carolina they played, and then at Cincinnati, obviously. So I think if a lot of Bills fans were told, hey, your team is going to be 3-2 going into the bye week, they would have taken that. Certainly in week five, losing in a tight game, in a, you know, pretty much torrential downpour the entire game against the Bengals, in a game that the Bills were in and had the ball, down 4 points, and, you know, with a chance to win, it can, you know, it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth going into the bye week. Not only losing, but, you know, a road game against an AFC opponent that could be battling for a wild card spot. But this is a team that has had a lot of turnover, and it seems as though Sean McDermott, just his coaching style, leadership style, and most importantly, his defensive scheme just fits with the Bills personnel and what they want to do on defense. That unit has just played very well at really all levels of the field. The offense has been a little bit limited. We haven't really seen that running game that's been so good the last two seasons since Shady McCoy came over in a trade from the Eagles. And the wide receiver group is not necessarily that impressive. It's probably one of the least dynamic in the NFL. And then Charles Clay goes down, the tight end that had really been a beneficiary of, you know, a team that doesn't have Sammy Watkins anymore, doesn't have Robert Woods. He goes down with an injury. He's going to be out a few weeks. So it's really a team that almost similar to what we saw Sean McDermott have in Carolina, that a team that leaned on its defense, occasionally got some big plays out of its offense and really wanted to run the football. So I think that's kind of why Bill's ownership brought in Sean McDermott. He'd kind of been a head coach in waiting for a while in Carolina as that defensive coordinator there. But this is a team that I think, you know, because of that philosophy that they want to play really good defense, turn the ball over, run the ball, and then as they get a little healthier, which they are now coming out of the bye week, maybe, you know, start to make a few more plays in the pass game. It's a team that, especially considering all the parity or mediocrity, whatever you want to call it, in the AFC, does, I think, have the blueprint in terms of what they want to do and what they can do on both sides of the ball to kind of be in that playoff race in the last couple months of the season.
Yeah, and they were a team, you know, after they traded away, you know, traded for Jordan Matthews, traded away Sammy Watkins, were a team that people maybe were kind of turning their nose up at and thought they were looking ahead to the following season, heading to next year already, but they have really impressed so far this season. The Buccaneers didn't have a bye week. They lost to the Arizona Cardinals 38-33 on the road, a game which obviously... for Jameis Winston's injury, which we'll be talking about in just a moment, didn't help them out. They are now 2-3, and the biggest news, as I mentioned, coming out of that was the injury to Winston, who so far this week has had a limited practice. As we look at the injury report, his right shoulder, it'll be interesting. I think at the moment it is unlikely that he's going to play. The report for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as we record this on Thursday, their Thursday practice schedule or their injury report has not been updated. Limited for them this week as well was also Lavonte David, the linebacker, with an ankle injury. They also have Noah Spence, shoulder injury has been limited as well. TJ Ward limited with a hip, and they also had Keith Tandy limited with a hip as well. So there's a lot of injuries on this here, you know, for the Buccaneers coming off that road loss, they're heading on the road again. It's obviously a very, very tough spot for them. As we look in now to the Buffalo Bills injury report, Charles Clay, as you mentioned, is injured, did not practice, will not play this week. EJ Gaines was a full participant today after being limited yesterday, which is a good news there. Cordy Glenn had a full practice, good news there. Ramon Huber and Richie Incognito did not practice, but for Incognito's case it was rest, so I'm sure we'll see him suit up this weekend. And then hamstring injury, has a full practice for Leonard Johnson, and then the other player there is Jordan Matthews with the thumb coming off that surgery. Limited practices in both weeks for him, but reports coming out that he's a little slower to progress than the Bills would have liked. So looking at that Bills, first of all, their injury report, out of those, obviously Clay won't go this weekend, but is there any other that you've concerned about? Ramon Huber, probably the only other one with that thumb injury that hasn't practiced this week.
Yeah, I think Ramon Huber is kind of in the same boat as Charles Clay, and actually Huber got hurt against the Falcons the previous week in week 4 with a thumb hand injury, and Sean McDermott has been pretty adamant that both of those guys, Clay and Huber, are more week to week than they were day to day. We saw against the Bengals, the Bills defense played actually pretty well for about 90% of the plays, but there were two long plays that AJ Green was found on, that one was a 70 plus yard touchdown. The other was a, I think, 47 yard gain that brought the Bengals offense inside the 5 yard line. And that was really the extent of the big plays for the Bengals in that game. So to get EJ Gaines back, not that it will necessarily, you know, change what Tre'Davious White has been doing. He's, beyond those two plays, he's been, you know, extraordinary as a rookie, but it certainly helps to have a veteran come back who in training camp in the preseason won that number two role, and he missed that game against the Bengals. So there was a little shuffling in the secondary, and some guys that are normally not going to play that much did play a little more, you know, second and third string guys. So probably the biggest name outside of Cordy Glenn, who strangely was active against the Bengals but didn't play. So outside of him, EJ Gaines is probably the biggest name on the Bills in terms of defensive side that will potentially play and probably will play on Sunday against the Bucs.
And as we look into it, obviously it's a very small sample size, but the Buccaneers continue to be winless on the road. They are 0-2 at this point, and they head to Buffalo in Week 7 here, as I mentioned. And the Bills are a very, very tough team to overcome at home. Their home record has been very, very good. Not a place that you want to be going in with an injured quarterback, as I mentioned, with Jameis Winston heading into this one. But reports on Fridays, I just have been looking up as we've been talking. It looks like he's pretty confident that he's going to play, and he's meant to take all the practice reps on Friday. So after tomorrow's practice, which will be the Friday portion, we will be much, much clearer whether he'll play. But there's no doubt about it, with him or without him, it's going to be a very tough contest here for the Buccaneers to head into Buffalo. On the Buffalo side, I mentioned there on the injury report, Jordan Matthews and his thumb injury. He has said that he still hasn't caught passes with that right hand, so he's considered day-to-day, should suit up this week. But when you're looking at it, he suffered it in week four, had the surgery timetable after that, was meant to be to return maybe in another week or two. Do you think he does get on the field this week, or do you think they hold him out for another week or two?
Sean McDermott came out at the beginning of this week and was a lot more optimistic about it. He actually said that Jordan Matthews had made tremendous progress. When the injury happened against the Falcons in week four, it was, the first diagnosis or the first prognosis was that he was going to have thumb surgery and that he was going to be out a month. So that would, if he plays on Sunday, that would put him about a week or so ahead of schedule. He's been out there practice. Like you said, he hasn't caught passes. I think if he does take that next step and he's maybe, technically he'll be a limited participant in practice, but if he does catch passes tomorrow, I think there's a decent chance. But I think this is an instance that we shouldn't just be positive that he's going to play or think because, he's been, the arrow is pointing in the right direction, it means he's going to play. The Bills have three of their next four at home, and their next two games are against AFC opponents, the Raiders at home and the Jets in New Jersey on Thursday night. So those are technically, if you're looking at the wild card race this early, those two games are technically more important than a game against an NFC opponent. So I think if there's any thought at all that Jordan Matthews could re-aggravate his thumb and then be out of two or three more games or more than that, then I think the Bills will hold him back. But I really think that tomorrow, as is the case most of the time, if he makes that next step tomorrow, we could see him on the field. Do I think he's going to play, 90% of the snap on offense? Probably not, even if his thumb does feel good, especially with those two AFC games, after this week against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and obviously now we'll look at, as we look at the key matchups, the Bills pass game against the Bucs pass defense. The Bucs now rank 31st in the NFL in pass defense, allowing 301 yards per game as they start the season. They've given up 316 yards and 24 points on the first four possessions last week against the Cardinals, so obviously that there is not something that they want to be repeating. But second-year cornerback Vernon Hargraves is really struggling over the start of the season, did struggle last year as well, and Brett Grimes is playing quite well though on the opposite side, got another interception last week. But with Hargreaves struggling, a lot of the times now we've started to see him drop back a little bit deeper into coverage, and people then are boarding him on shorter routes, in-breaking routes, and it's just not working out for them. So Buffalo, this is the interesting part. Buffalo ranked 30th out of 32 NFL teams in passing yards, averaging only 165 yards per game. So out of this, going forward, they've only scored 6 passing touchdowns and have only 2 interceptions in the season. So not really doing a lot through the air with Tyrod Taylor. A lot of the work being done on the ground. So one of the sides kind of has to give in this. Is it the Bucs' pass defense gets back on track, or does the Bills' passing game start to creep up a little bit in this one?
Yeah, I think that this game is really going to be decided on those two factors, that, something has to give from this Bills pass game and this Buccaneers secondary. And taking that a step further, I think that I don't necessarily think Tyrod Taylor is going to have 350 yards and 4 touchdown passes, but a step further, the Buccaneers come into this game with only 6 sacks as a team. Gerald McCoy is one of the best defensive tackles in the league. Robert Ayers is an underrated defensive lineman. He's a little bit better as a run defender, though, than he is as a pass rusher. So I think if Tyrod Taylor is in the pocket and he's not pressured, for as good as he is when he needs to improvise and he needs to throw outside the pocket due to the pass rush. He's much better when he's not, you know, immediately thinking about the pass rush the second he catches a snap in shotgun or when he drops back into a 5 or 7 step drop. So I think I would kind of lean toward the Bills passing offense for as, you know, pedestrian as it's been thus far to have a better game at home against this Buccaneers secondary that we've seen pretty much every type of team, home or away, almost, you know, shred to a certain degree. And it's not only because of guys like Vernon Hargraves or, you know, some weakness at the safety spot or at that number three or that number four cornerback spot, but really we've seen it's pretty much, you know, over the test of time that if your defensive line can't get home and create pressure, your secondary is probably going to struggle. So if the Bills offensive line can keep Tyrod Taylor protected against, you know, one of the, you know, lesser pass rushers that they face, and they face the Broncos, they face the Bengals, they face the Carolina Panthers, that if they're able to keep Tyrod Taylor upright and not only just upright, but not, you know, pressured once every two or three snaps, then I think the Bills pass game could have a little bit of a resurgence on Sunday.
Yeah, and I guess when we're talking about the pass game, we have to touch on it. Zay Jones, in week five, he caught one of six targets for 9 yards, and that was with Jordan Matthews obviously sidelined, Charles Clay leaving that game earlier. So he's continued to be pretty much a non-factor. There was a lot of high hopes kind of for him coming in as a rookie, but despite starting every game, he has just 5 catches on the season. What has the verdict up there on Zay Jones been so far in Buffalo?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's certainly not a verdict on him yet, but thus far, I think of a mental block in terms of catching the football. I mean, he's a 6'2", 210, 215-pound wideout with big hands. He caught 399 passes in college. I mean, a lot of those were screens, you know, of every variety at East Carolina, but there wasn't really this big red flag in terms of him as a prospect that he had, you know, poor hands. But I think, you know, he has a drop in his first game, and then it kind of has avalanched and kind of snowballed. And we're seeing, you know, passes that are right in his chest that he's dropping. He has made, you know, a few of those 5 catches have been, you know, really good grabs. And it seems like he's, at least getting into this game, he's kind of had lapses of concentration on the easy passes, you know, and, you know, some of them haven't been, you know, when he's stationary, but they've been slants that, you know, are right in his hands or hitting him in the numbers and he's dropping. So I think once he gets over that hurdle, we're kind of seeing the same thing with Amari Cooper in Oakland, that once Zay Jones, I don't think he's going to continue with this, you know, crazy drop rate. He needs to get over that mental hurdle that when the ball's coming his way, he needs to not think that he's going to drop it. I mean, he is a second round receiver. He had a, you know, illustrious collegiate career. So right now, certainly there's a disappointment about how he's played through 5 games. I mean, the Bills traded up to get him in the second round. But I think that we will see him over the next few weeks. I mean, maybe the bye week was kind of really what he needed. I don't think he's going to have 9 catches for 130 yards on Sunday, but see him a little bit more involved in the offense and, you know, not dropping balls at such an alarming rate like he, you know, did in the first 5 games of his career.
Yeah, and I touched on it earlier as well when we talked about the pass defense, but the run defense as well. The Buccaneers has been struggling. Adrian Peterson turned back the clock last week and really gassed this team. 134 yards and 2 touchdowns on 26 carries for him. So LeSean McCoy hasn't really been his explosive best on the ground this season. He has been doing a lot of his work through the air on pass catching attempts. And so this week, following that by, obviously with Tyrod Taylor's ability there, as you mentioned, to scramble, move out of the pocket and stretch this defense in different ways, do you think this is a big opportunity for McCoy to have his best game of the season on the ground?
Yeah, and he actually said that yesterday, that he thinks this is the game where the run game really gets going for the Bills. There's been a lot of speculation or thought that the Bills going for more of a power run game the last 2 seasons under Greg Roman and Anthony Lynn to now that famed zone blocking scheme under Rick Dennison, who's a Gary Kubiak, who is a Mike Shanahan disciple, that run scheme has really led to the Bills' struggles. I do think that it does take some time for an offensive line to transition from the man-to-man blocking to the zone blocking, where you know, the entire offensive line has to be in unison for those plays to not only work on the front side, but for those cutback lanes to be there for running backs. McCoy himself seems like the guy we've seen his entire career, you know, still super agile, great vision, balance. But I think it really matters beyond what kind of scheme you're looking at, zone scheme, man scheme, if there's a pulling guard, if there's a fullback, that you just have to block well. And there's been times that on the front side, whether it's been John Miller, the third-year former third-round pick out of Louisville, or it's been Vlad Dukasi, who actually played against the Bengals. He jumped into the starting lineup after John Miller was benched, just, you know, were whiffing on blocks, and there was defensive tackles in the backfield right away. That's happened much more through the first five games this year than we saw in 2016 and 2015. And I do give some props to Rick Dennison, the Bills offensive coordinator, because he has mixed in some power schemes, some man-to-man blocking that the Bills have run, or that the Bills did run in 2015 and 2016. And the entire coaching staff has said, you know, we took this bye week to kind of reevaluate and, you know, probably look at what plays they wanted to scrap, what plays they wanted to feature more. And like you mentioned, I think we've seen the Bills run game be at its best when there is some read option wrinkled in, that Tyrod Taylor isn't just, you know, picking up yardage on a pass play when he scrambles, but is a threat to run on those designed runs. And you can still put a fullback in front of him to, you know, kind of protect him a little bit. And I think we'll see that more against the Buccaneers on Sunday. And certainly if Lavonte David can't go or isn't 100%, he is certainly their best linebacker. Then that, you know, really gives the Bills a big advantage when it comes to the ground game.
Yeah, and just as we get ready to wrap up here and we talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receivers, tight ends, really basically the Tampa Bay offense heading against the Buffalo defense. We know what Mike Evans can do. We know what DeSean Jackson can do through the air. Last week, though, although the Cardinals had that big early lead, they did lay off in coverage at times. It was five players for the Buccaneers: Mike Evans, Cameron Britt, Adam Humphreys, Charles Sims, and DeSean Jackson all recorded at least one catch of 20 yards plus. So it can be explosive, you know, as an offense as a whole. The Buffalo linebackers are obviously going to be well aware of Cameron Britt as well. He caught six passes last week for 76 yards and a touchdown. So he's looked good, and O.J. Howard has been sprinkled in kind of sparingly for them this offseason, the rookie tight end. But how do you think overall that the Bills' defense match up against this Tampa offense?
Well, I think in general, a team that faces the Bills that is really predicated on hitting the big play, and with Jameis Winston under center, the Buccaneers have been good at hitting the big play. That's not necessarily a great matchup for that offense, because the Bills' defense, Sean McDermott's cover three that we saw him run for 5 years in Carolina, is predicated, because they're running cover three, on stopping that big play down the field. And the Bills, outside of those two long plays against Cincinnati and AJ Green that were really almost one-on-one plays, we've, you know, seen the Bills limit Matt Ryan at home. Cam Newton had a good first quarter against the Bills, but after that, you know, it was really shut down. They did not hit any plays. In week one against the Jets, there was very limited big plays. So I think the Bills will be okay with Mike Evans catching 6 and 8 yard comebacks, and maybe Cameron Brate on some horizontal stuff underneath. Adam Humphreys, kind of the same, but they really don't want to get beat and will do everything they can to, you know, not have DeSean Jackson hit a 75-yard touchdown. And kind of like I mentioned earlier, against the Bengals, they played great defense besides those two longer plays to A.J. Green. And certainly you can game plan to try to stop a, you know, deep pass to Mike Evans or a deep pass to DeSean Jackson and not be successful. But I think regardless of if they're facing Jameis Winston or Ryan Fitzpatrick, that will be the, you know, central focus, not only for this game, but the entire season for the Bills, is that if a team is going to piece together a 11, 12, 13, 14 play drive against us and score, so be it, but we're not going to let those big plays happen. And if we can keep everything in front of us, then generally speaking, we're going to, you know, find teams in third and long and, you know, get after the quarterback and just in general be one of the better defenses in the league. So regardless of who is at quarterback, I think there will need to be for the Buccaneers more dinking and dunking that they probably want to actually do.
Yeah, and that's been an issue, I think, with this Buccaneers offense. They've been looking for the big play too often. They give up some, they don't take some of the smaller plays, and then they're doing a lot of tree and outs. You know, it just doesn't give them a consistent offense. So with that being said, I think, you know, we're looking here. I mentioned at the start, the Buffalo Bills' home record is very, very strong. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have struggled on the road. There just seems to be a lot more issues at this moment in time with the Buccaneers, whether it is obviously a big issue coming into it, it's the health of their quarterback heading into it. You never want to see your quarterback coming in less than 100%. If he does get a couple of hits this week, may miss you know, parts of the game or the entire rest of the game. So I have to say, with everything going in, particularly the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense and how it suits up and fits in against this Buffalo Bills offense, I have to say that I think this is one that the Buffalo Bills take at home. I think they'll probably, and it'll be a surprise to a lot of people probably when they're watching it, that they think the Buccaneers are a better team, but I think the Bills will win this game quite comfortably. How do you see it? I'll get a prediction from you now as to how you think this Week 7 contest goes.
Yeah, I think pretty similarly. I don't know how comfortable it'll be, because I do think that just when you look at this Buccaneers team, you know, with the problems on defense, and like you said, not a ton of consistency on the offensive side. I still think, I mean, Gerald McCoy is a top three or top five defensive tackle. Like you mentioned, Brent Grimes, you know, even at his age, is one of the best cornerbacks in the league. And on offense, they certainly have, you know, a all pro in Mike Evans. If Jameis Winston plays, he's proven to be one of the better young quarterbacks in the league. And DeSean Jackson has probably, since he came into the league almost 10 years ago now, has been the best overall deep threat in the league. So they certainly have some quality players, which I think just that talent alone will kind of keep them in this game, right on the road, against a team that's almost the opposite of them, that for, even if it is Jameis Winston, if there's been one kind of knock on him, it's been that he can at times not be super accurate and can force the issue, throw probably more interceptions than you would expect. And the Bills are all about, you know, creating turnovers and not turning the ball over on offense. That's probably Tyrod Taylor's best attribute in terms of, or beyond just his athletic ability, is that he, you know, if he sees a wide receiver that might not be wide open, he's not going to necessarily force that when Jameis Winston is, or has shown a tendency to do that. So I think the turnovers, the Buccaneers' lack of a pass rush, and just the Bills, you know, coming off the bye week, rested, fully evaluating their run game, their pass game, everything, they should win this game at home by something like 7, 10, maybe 13 points.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And lots of great information there from you, Chris. And obviously the listeners can follow you on Twitter at Chris Trapasso. As always, it's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
That was Chris Trapasso of the Buffalo News. As I mentioned there, you can follow him on Twitter at Chris Trapasso. In just a moment, I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into the game using some of the many apps on rotoviz.com. On today's show, I'm going to be using the GLSP app one more time. Next week, we'll change things up. It was suggested again on Twitter. People love the GLSP app or the Gillespie app to get the suggestions of what I'm going to talk about in the show. So if you have a suggestion of a different app to use, send it my way. I'll be glad to work it in on next week's edition of the podcast. This season obviously has already started, but you can still sign up and get yourself a RotoWiz NFL pass. And of course, you can get that with a 30% discount as a listener to the podcast. It is available through the NFL podcast homepage, rotowiz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all our NFL content and tools. And best of all, it supports the pod. So get your 30% discount now for an NFL pass at rotowiz.com/podcast. So as I mentioned, we're going to use the GLSP app this week again to break down what I think is going to happen in this game. It's an interesting game. As I talked there with Chris, and I have to say that I think this game is going to lean heavily in favor of the Buffalo Bills. I think this has the potential to really get out of hand on the Buccaneers, and I maybe, you know, coming next week when I come on the show, I may say I got that one very much wrong. But this one here, I think, sets up favorably in many, many ways for the Buffalo Bills. They are coming off that bye. I think just the matchups and defense and offense suit them a lot more than it does suit this Buccaneers team. The Jameis Winston injury coming into it, whether he, at this point, it does look like he's going to play. But even if he does play, I don't think he's going to be 100%. And it's just going to make it a lot tougher on the Buccaneers. So I'm leaning heavily in this one to the Buffalo Bills. And you'll see as I go through my projections and my thoughts in this game that that's the way I'm going to be leaning to. We all know when we talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if Jameis Winston starts, he's probably your best option at quarterback, but you have to consider that if he does get sacked in this game, if he does come down on that shoulder again, he may have to sit out a portion of the game or the rest of the game. So I think with the Buccaneers, they're likely to see and try and manage him through the game, and we'll just see how it goes from that perspective. So for me, if I have another option, I'm sitting Jameis this week, and we'll see then. If he doesn't play, you're not going to play him, but if he does play, for me, he is a sit this week. Then when you look at the wide receiver position, and we talked as well about how they're going to play cover three against this defense, and they're going to sit a little bit deeper, they're going to try not to give up those big plays. That means that Mike Evans might catch, you know, six or seven balls, but it's going to be for short yardage. And then obviously you're really reliant then on a touchdown. You're not really going to, I don't think, see that big play to DeSean Jackson. I don't think we'll see that this week. So it's very tough. So I see as the Buccaneers in this game, I think this game is going to set up a little bit more from their perspective for the run game and Doug Martin, maybe some Charles Sims catching passes out of the backfield, and then Cameron Britt. So the two players I'd be targeting in this game if I was picking out Tampa Bay Buccaneers to start this week would be Doug Martin and Cameron Britt. I think that Martin has played quite well. I've been impressed with how he's looked since he's come back from his suspension, and I think when you're looking at the GLSP app for him, obviously the low this week is very low, and the high then is a nice generous donation into his scoring charts this week. But if you're looking just in standard leagues this week, as low as 2.7, median is 6.2, and high is 15.9. I think we're looking somewhere between the median and the high this week for his projection. I have him in to manage to get in around the just over 10 points this week. 10.5 points I have him down for. If you look at it, I think you're going to get a healthy dose of him on the ground, because I think they're going to try and take it out of James's hands a little bit. I think he'll catch two or three passes as well as we go along here. And I think that out of the Buccaneers, I do like his opportunity this week to put up, but I still think he's going to be an RB2. I can't see him this week finishing as an RB1. Then I mentioned Cameron Britt. Again, as we talked with Chris, he mentioned, you know, they'll probably give up some stuff underneath to him, you know, so some things within 5 to 10 yards of the line of scrimmage that he can pick up on and pick up some points. And, you know, if you're playing in standard leagues, you know, you're waiting again on your tight end to get into the end zone. With the tight end position, it's always touchdown dependent. But I think in PPR leagues this week, we can see Britt have a nice game. I expect him to catch 5 to 6 passes, and then you know, if he gets in the end zone, then you're really liking it. But I think he has a safe floor this week, and I think he's going to finish around his median projection this week. I see him finishing in around, you know, 7 to 9 points, and then of course if he gets the touchdown, he's hitting double digit figures. So Cameron Britt and Doug Martin for me in the Buccaneers selection for this contest. But I'm going to look a little bit more into the Buffalo Bills now as we run through it, and I'm going to start off by saying this team this week, if Jordan Matthews plays, that's all well and good. I just can't factor him in with confidence this week as a starter anyway, with how he's been limited since he's come back. He's only 3 weeks removed from a surgery on his thumb, so it's hard to have the utmost confidence in a player coming back like that. And it's very interesting what Chris said about the fact that the next two games are against AFC rivals that could be in there for the wildcard position, so they might prioritise that over him playing this week. And of course, with what I'm going to talk about now, and the ability for the Bills to have success on the ground in this one, I think that is a smart option. So they don't have a lot of pass catching options in this one, so we'll see LeSean McCoy catch a few balls in this one, no doubt about that. I think we've seen what Adrian Peterson did last week, and that obviously wasn't, we thought he might have a big role while he went to Arizona. We didn't think he was going to just absolutely light up the Buccaneers straight off the bat, and LeSean McCoy I think can do something similar this week. I don't know if he'll get the two touchdowns, but touchdowns can be very hard to predict on a weekly basis, but I do think he's going to pick up the yards. He has not been running the ball as well as I would like to see him over the start of the season, but then he's picking up those yards through the air, as I mentioned with Chris. But I think this week is the opportunity to get that run game going. The Buccaneers have really struggled in that department this season. In week 4, he did hit his highest rushing yardage total of the season, 63 yards against the Bengals. So I think we're going to see him work into that. And if you add in his increased usage as a receiver, whether if you're in PPR, you're onto a real winner with LeSean McCoy. But if you're playing in standard, the mixture of the receiving yards plus the yards on the ground are going to add up. I would expect him to hit at least 100 combined yards this week, so that there's you even in standard leagues hitting that 10-point mark, and I think he's going to get in the end zone. So I think at the end of this week we're going to be looking at LeSean McCoy finishing as an RB1, you know, if he's in, I have him on a couple of dynasty teams, and he's going to be slotted in, no questions asked, no doubt about it. He's starting for me this week, so get LeSean McCoy in your lineups. Zay Jones, you know, he's really the only wide receiver that we can really talk about here. You have Nick O'Leary playing at tight end, but you know, you can't trust him even in the most deep of deep tight end premium league. So we're looking here at Zay Jones, and there is an opportunity this week for him to get on board, but you can't start him. It's just not possible unless you're really going for a contrarian play. Tampa Bay has allowed at least one receiver to score double-digit points in every game this season, and no other NFL team is allowing more fantasy points to the receiver position than the Bucs have, but it's just hard to trust them. But you know, if you're really, really stuck, you're looking for a streamer, maybe in a deep league, you can put him in there as a flex play. But I think Zay Jones has the possibility to get right this week and have a breakout game for him, but just at this moment in time, you can't trust him in your lineups. The player that I am trusting this week is Tyrod Taylor. If you want to know what the lowest yardage passing total allowed by the Bucs defense this season was, it was actually last week, 283 yards by Carson Palmer. So, you know, if that's the floor, the ceiling is really, really high. He also threw last week, though, for 3 passing touchdowns. And obviously the Cardinals were up 31-0 at one point. So they didn't really throw the ball too much in the second half. Taylor can be, you know, up and down from week to week. He can look hesitant. He can look a little rattled at times, and he's inaccurate at times. But I think when you look at it, his numbers at home are really strong. 66.7% completion rate. He has 437 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception in 2 games. So he's moving along very, very nicely. And on the road, then, he has had a couple of struggles. But Tampa Bay's secondary is porous, should allow for some open receivers. And you know, maybe Zay Jones does break free and we get something going there, but I expect him as well to have LeSean McCoy to use that in and to get those rushing yards on the ground. I think the combination of the threat between Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy is going to open up some big running lanes for both those guys this week. I have a few DFS lineups that I'm setting up, and of course as well I'm doing the play of the week for RotoViz, writing in my suggestions for that, and I've gone with a stack in that of a running back and a quarterback, and they happen to be the Bills running back and quarterback LeSean McCoy and Tyrod Taylor. So looking at his projections on the GLSP app, in 4-point passing touchdown leagues, Terrell Pryor has a low of 12.8, a medium of 15.4, and a high of 21.5. And if you look through it, I do think that you know, he's going to finish, you know, between the median and the high, and more than likely on the high. I actually think he could break that ceiling of 21 points. I'm expecting a big, big week here from him. I was using some of the other tools on RotoViz, and you know, then comparing it with the value that he has on DraftKings and FanDuel. And I think when I looked, I think it was at DraftKings I was looking, and he's the 20th overall in terms of quarterback cost this week. And you know, then a lot of the projections and models have him finishing as a top 5 option this week. So I definitely have him slotted into quite a number of my lineups, and I think he's a huge value this week, and that's why he is my draft star player of the week. So I'm slotting him into my DFS lineups, and I'm also going to be slotting him into my draft lineups. If you haven't played on draft yet, it's a hell of a lot of fun. You can come and join up today. You can download the app anytime. Just search Draft in the App Store and join a game in minutes, or play right on your computer from playdraft.com, whichever way you prefer. And for a limited time only, if you sign up, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit if you use the promo code RVRadio. If you haven't heard already what Draft is, it's pretty much a no salary cap league with a live snake draft format that you draft just like you do in your leagues with your friends, you know, in the off season and in your redraft leagues. And then after you draft, it's just a best ball format. Like if you play in any MFL 10 leagues or any best ball leagues, you just pick those players, you pick a couple of bench players, and then the computer pretty much does the rest for you. It picks the highest scoring players out of your selections, and then whoever finishes top at the end of it all wins. So there's no trades, no waiver wire, just a lot of fun. So drafts starting from as little as $1, so there really is a draft for everyone. So go get involved, use that promo code RVRadio when you sign up, get that first deposit, get a free entry into a draft, and go get yourself some Tyrod Taylor in those lineups, and make sure you win this week. So I've given a rundown through the players I expect. This game is, I look at certain games, I tell you it's going to be a fantasy bonanza. I go through all the players, you know, maybe list out 3 or 4 wide receivers, talk about the tight ends and so on and so forth. This game, I think there's selected players that can outscore what their value is this week, and then I think the rest of them are pretty much, you know, you can't trust them in this one. So I mentioned there the players that I'm trusting this week are Cameron Brate, Doug Martin, and then of course the ones that I'm really, really trusting, the ones that I'm fully behind, are LeSean McCoy and Tyrod Taylor being my star draft player of the week. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of the RotoViz Fantasy Football Beat. Thanks once again to Chris Trapasso for jumping aboard the show and talking through this game with me. Really enjoyed the conversation I had with him. My name's Colm Kelly. You can find me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. And until I'm back next week with another edition, have a good one. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Beat, a RotoViz podcast. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favourite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.